Okay, Bestie, we have to talk about why your genius ideas keep hitting a brick wall at work because honestly, the audacity of these executives sometimes.
You've been there, right? You spend 3 weeks prepping this gorgeous, data-heavy deck for a meeting with the VP. You walk in feeling like a literal main character and then nothing.
They nod, they say interesting, and then your project just dies a slow, silent death in the cool idea bucket.
It is actually tragic, but here is the tea. It's usually not because your idea was bad.
It's because at the executive level, being right is not the vibe they're looking for. They need your idea to feel inevitable. If you're trying to influence people who have chief in their title, you have to realize that influence isn't just about being smart. It's about navigating their chaotic brain space. Jessica Fain, who has been a big deal leader at places like Slack and Box, says that the moment we talk to an executive, we totally forget our core skills of curiosity and empathy.
We focus on our own little slice of the world instead of looking at their global maximum. So basically, if they aren't buying what you're selling, it's not because they're mean, it's because you didn't map your goal to their specific stress levels.
We are going to dive into how you can actually stop pitching and start pre-selling decisions so you can finally get that budget and headcount you deserve.
Let's get into the actual science of winning over the unwilling. I need you to visualize an executive's calendar for a second because it is a literal nightmare. Jessica Fain describes it as a strobe light going off all day. Think about it, they wake up at 8 a.m. to a list of emergencies, and then they spend the rest of the day jumping from a meeting with finance on a budget to an interview for another executive, to a people problem, to a legal problem, to a product review. By the time they walk into your product review at 2 p.m., they haven't thought about you or your project since the last time you spoke 3 weeks ago. They might not have even had time to go to the bathroom.
So when you dive straight into slide 14 of your technical roadmap, their brain is literally short-circuiting because they have zero context. This is why influence fails. You're optimizing for your local problem while they are optimizing for the global maximum of the whole company. If you want to actually get through to them, you have to be their communication chameleon. You need to spend the first 60 seconds of any meeting just setting the stage. Tell them exactly why you're there, what happened last time, and what the goal is today. If you talk for more than a minute without stopping, you've already lost them. You have to help them get into the right mindset so they can actually use their best brain to help you. It's about making them feel safe enough to actually engage with your idea instead of just glazing over and checking their email under the table.
Okay, here is the secret that separates the middle managers from the VPs, and honestly, it's kind of a work smarter, not harder vibe. Managers pitch ideas, but executives pre-sell decisions. If you wait until the actual formal meeting to ask for a yes, you've already messed up. By the time an idea hits the agenda, the decision should already feel like the only logical next step. You build buy-in in the hallways, the Slack threads, and those random 1-1 coffee chats. Think about April Underwood, who was the chief product officer at Slack. When Jessica Fain wanted to understand how those high-level decisions were really made, she didn't just send a cold invite. She stepped up and asked to be April's chief of staff to see the behind the scenes. She realized that people totally misunderstand how leaders evaluate things. While you're looking at the technical quality of your work, they are looking at their goals, what they're trying to do, and how they're measured. They're wondering, what breaks if this fails? Or who is going to be mad if I say yes to this? If you want to win, you have to de-risk your idea before it ever becomes visible to the whole group. Go to the people who might block your idea and ask them, what would worry you most if we did this? This isn't just playing politics, it's literally how organizations function. You're pressure testing your plan in private so that when you're in the room, you already have the answers to their biggest fears. I know love language sounds like something you talk about on a first date, but in the office, it is the only way to get things done. Every executive has a specific way they process information. Some people absolutely loathe PowerPoints. It literally crushes their soul. Others only want to see the cold, hard data and couldn't care less about your vision. You have to figure out if your boss wants 10 minutes of quiet reading time before talking, or if they need a 15-minute high-level briefing before the board meeting.
And here is where it gets spicy. You need to start asking better questions to find their emotional drive. Instead of the boring what's top of mind, which everyone asks, try asking something like, what is the board pushing you on right now? Because Bestie, everyone has a boss, even the CEO. If you can figure out what they are scared of messing up or how they are being measured, you can align your project with their success. Jessica Fain mentions how at Slack, they used a Hey Stuart meeting style, named after the CEO, Stuart Butterfield, just to download his expertise before anything was done. They realized that if they brought him a finished design, he'd hate it because it wasn't how he saw it in his head. But by asking for his past experience early on, they were co-creating with him. You want them to feel like they've built the product alongside you. That way they aren't just approving your plan, they're defending their plan.
This is going to sound totally counterintuitive, but if you want an executive to trust you, you have to be willing to kill things. Seriously. One of the biggest trust builders is when a leader sees that you can deprioritize your own work. If you act like a yes man who thinks every single feature is a priority, they'll stop believing you. But if you come to them and say, actually, I don't think this is the highest leverage thing right now, we should kill it and do X instead, you're showing them you have a leadership mindset. You're acting like a CPO because you're looking at the whole business, not just your own ego.
There is this whole concept in behavioral economics called loss aversion. Basically, the pain of losing something feels twice as strong as the joy of gaining something. Executives are often terrified of making a mistake that costs money or reputation. If you can frame your idea as securing what the company already has or stopping the bleeding of a failed strategy, it lands way better than just promising a big shiny win. You have to make the right choice the easy choice. Jessica Fain talks about a customer love sprint at Slack where they stopped everything for 2 weeks just to fix the rough edges. It wasn't about a new feature, it was about protecting the mojo of the craft that made Slack great in the first place. When you show you care about the business's soul more than your own project list, people start to listen.
I've learned this the hard way. Never, and I mean never, walk into a review with only one solution. It makes you look like you haven't done your homework. Jessica Fain tells a story about a product review with her manager, Rachel Woolen, that went totally south because they only brought one approach. Rachel was basically like, I don't understand how you're thinking about the permutations of what's possible here. They had to come back 2 days later with a document showing all the options they had considered and why they thought they would or wouldn't serve the outcomes they were driving and the technical complexity behind them.
Once they showed the technical complexity and the trade-offs of the other paths, their boss finally got it. It's like the classic Goldilocks strategy. Give them three options, and the one in the middle usually feels like the perfect fit. It proves you aren't dumb and that you didn't miss anything obvious. Oh, and here's a pro tip from the Slack days. They had a rule called Stuart plus two more. After a design review with Stuart, he'd say, no, do it exactly like this. They would do that version plus two other versions they felt good about. This created a forum for an actual debate about the merits of each approach, rather than just taking a mandate. It gives you an opinion while still respecting their authority. You're the domain expert. You are paid to have a perspective, but you have to show the work behind it. Okay, bestie, let's wrap this up into a literal step-by-step guide so you can go kill it in your next meeting. First, you have to map your stakeholders. Who is your primary, the one who can actually say yes? And who is the secondary, the people who have that person's ear? Once you know who you're talking to, use the foot in the door technique. Don't ask for a $500,000 budget on day one. Ask for a pilot program or a 30-day trial. Once people say yes to a small step, they are psychologically committed to the logic of the project, and it's way easier to get the big yes later. Second, flip your presentation style. Use the Mento pyramid. Start with your recommendation first, then show the evidence. Don't make them wait until slide 20 to know what you want. And please, for the love of everything, keep the process stuff in the appendix. They assume you did the job. They don't need to see every single user interview you did, unless they ask. Third, signal ownership, not just enthusiasm. Don't say, what do you think about this? That's weak. Say, here is the decision I'm asking for. Here are the trade-offs, and here is what I will own. Executives fund owners because owners reduce risk. And finally, if they seem skeptical, give them certainty about the next check-in point. If you say, I don't know if this will work yet, but let's check back on X date, it de-escalates the fear of a permanent failure. At the end of the day, influence isn't about being the loudest person in the room or having the fanciest slides. It's about building a relationship where people feel like you are a strategic partner who adds real value. It is honestly so much more human than just playing the game. You have to genuinely care about the context your executives are bringing to the table. They understand the whole industry and the board pressures in a way you don't. So use them as a resource. Ask them, what am I not seeing operationally? When you show that you respect their expertise, they'll start to respect yours.
Think about it. To grow your career, you have to broaden your perspective beyond just your one feature or your one team. You have to think about the whole ecosystem of the company. That's how you get seen as a strategic thinker. So the next time you have a big idea, don't just pitch it. Sit in their seat first. Ask yourself what would make them successful. If you can help them win, you've already won. I'm honestly so excited for you to try these tactics. Go out there and make that inevitable yes happen. You've totally got this, and I can't wait to hear how it goes. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. It was such a vibe to finally break all of this down with you. Go reflect on which executive you need to pre-sell this week and just go for it.